Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
More than conquerors. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter that we find in the Bible. He writes this particular letter to the people in Rome, and it's called the Book of Romans. Hey, how about that? Because he wrote it to the people in Rome. And he wrote it to these people who are living in this amazing city at this particular time in history. It's written about 20, 28 years after Jesus died and rose again. So it's not that long. It's about 58 AD. And the Roman Empire was actually the largest empire across the earth at this point in time. It was growing and expanding. It was strong. And about a quarter of the world's population actually lived within the Roman Empire at this time. It was a mighty force on the earth. And this city of Rome, which this letter is written to, was actually the center of the Roman Empire, was the capital of the Roman Empire. It was the head of culture. It was the heart of education. It was the heart of wealth, of fashion, of intellect, of trade. Rome was the heart of everything that was going on across the earth at that point in time. Has anyone read The Hunger Games or seen the movie? You know, the capital, where they go and they're all dressed up in funny outfits and they're just like living in this bubble. I imagine Rome to be a little bit like that, that the rest of the earth was struggling, and even across the Roman Empire, there were struggles, there was difficulties. You didn't want to be sent to an outpost like Judea. You didn't want to be sent to one of the faraway parts of the Roman Empire. You wanted to be in the heart of the action, in the heart of Rome. And this is actually the book, the letter that was written to these people in this location, in this time in history. Paul's addressing these people. He's addressing this bunch of Christians in this amazing city. And in this city, these people are surrounded by winners. They're surrounded by victory. There are reports every day that we've taken new land, that we've won more ground, that we've won another battle, that Rome is the best, that no one can defeat us. Every single day, these people in this city are hearing about how amazing and powerful they are. And in the middle of this, Paul writes this letter to these Christians in this city. And there's 16 chapters in this book, and right smack bang in the middle of those 16 chapters is chapter 8. And in chapter 8, he takes the time to make it very clear to these people that because you belong to Christ, you are more than conquerors. Because of Christ, you are more than what you actually see with your physical eyes around you. He says you are more winning than what you see every single day and what you hear testified of every single day. You are bigger, better, stronger, bolder than what you're seeing in this city. No, do you know he doesn't say this anywhere else in Scripture? He doesn't tell any other group of people these particular things, because only this group of people understood how significant and powerful they were in this city. And because of that, he can say this to these Christians. He can put this in context for these particular Christians. And we're going to read it together in Romans chapter 8. I'd love to read the whole chapter to you, but you can do that for yourselves at home. I know you will. So Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will God not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for you and me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, no. In all these things, We are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, will you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you that you put every one of us in this room today. Lord, some of us have never even thought about you. Some of us have just found ourselves here. Some of us know you and love you. But Father God, I pray that today, in this room, you would speak to every single one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul calls us more than conquerors. And Paul is telling us that once we actually accept Jesus, then there is nothing that can come between us and Jesus. There's nothing that can separate us from him. God loves us and he does not condemn us. He makes it clear, really clear in that scripture, that it's not because of you and me, but it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we're winners. It's because of Jesus that we are more than conquerors. And what Jesus did, he did for every single human on the earth. Such a powerful statement that what Jesus did on the cross, what we celebrate at Easter, was not just for a few select people. God has dealt with the sin problem for every single human on the earth. Come on, give him some praise. We don't have a sin problem, we have a believe problem. We have a receive and a believe problem, because the Word of God tells us that those who receive Jesus and believe what he has done shall be saved, that our sin is no longer a problem or an issue. So it's actually not a sin problem we've got going around. We've got a believe problem. We've got a receive problem. And I want to read this together because I want you to hear it and say it and speak it out. So Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, let's read it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel because, I can't hear you. Come on. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. He who believes. Jesus has done the job. He's done the work. The package is finished. It's there waiting for us. We just have to believe. Romans 3:22, we're going to read this one together as well. You ready? This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all. Amen. Come on. And if you believe it, let's give Jesus a shout of praise in this place today. So Paul spends the whole of chapter 8 basically ranting, for the sake of a better word, but ranting about how that if we accept Jesus, nothing can separate us from his love. That he just goes on and on and on. He says his love cannot be interrupted, broken, damaged, cut off, or changed by any circumstance in your life, even when stuff goes wrong, even when things hit fans. Do we think because we struggle, because we've made a mistake, or because we yelled at God and said, God, how could you make this happen to me, that suddenly he walks away and leaves us? That suddenly he separated himself? Is that what we believe? Because I know sometimes that's what I hear. And it's like, no. But I know that it's easy to find ourselves there in a place where we feel like that. But we should be confident that God is still with us. That God is with us always, and we can be assured of that. Paul doesn't mention our actions, our behaviors. He doesn't mention our good works. He doesn't mention our successful career. He doesn't mention our marriages. He doesn't mention that we're fantastic parents. He doesn't mention any of our things that we might be thinking are good things or any of the things that are bad things. Because he says, I'm confident, no matter what, Jesus is sticking with me. Jesus is not going anywhere. Jesus is with me. Nothing can separate us. Nothing's going to come between us. Jesus is on my side no matter what. And we find a great demonstration of this in the story, in the account of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you've got your Bibles, you can go there, grab them out. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's a tongue twister. You should say that. 1 Samuel chapter 17. See, it's tricky, hey? Now you've got some compassion for me up here. So the Israelites, God's people, are positioned for battle against the Philistine army. And they find themselves in this valley, and they're on either side of the valley facing one another. And for 40 days, they have been there. And for 40 days, the Israelites come out, and they go, whoa, and wave their swords and make a lot of noise. And then the Israelites send out Goliath.
Who's going to fight me?
And the Israelites all run away scared. For 40 days, this is what's been going on. They come out, they look all big and brave, yeah, we're tough, and they make a lot of noise, and then they run away like chickens. And so this is where we are in this story. Now, Goliath, the Bible tells us a few things about Goliath. It says he is a champion from Gath. It tells us that he's tall and wide. It tells us that he's scary and that he's massive. It tells us that he's pretty ugly and daunting. And this is what the enemy that was in front of Israel looked like. It looked scary. And you and I face battles every day that look pretty scary. And you know, Paul describes them to us in chapter 8 of Romans. He describes them as trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword. But for us, I think we've got some other words for these things, some other words for these difficulties and troubles that come our way. You might describe them as depression, financial struggle, singleness, parenting, marriage stress, your sister, sexual struggles, your career, your weakness, brokenness, maybe you're overwhelmed. You might call it infertility. You might call it unemployment, inexperience, sickness, hurt, loneliness, lack of confidence. We can call it all sorts of things, but they all look big, daunting, and scary. And they can make us feel like Jesus is far away from us when those things stand before us. They can make us feel disconnected from Jesus, even though we know or the word tells us that he's right there. They can make us feel like Jesus is far, 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 far away. And we can find ourselves saying words like, where are you, God? Where are you? Really? Really, God? This is where you've left me? Goliath was a reality in front of the Israelites. He was real. He was big. He was powerful. He probably stank. He was not a nice-looking guy, but he was real. And our problems and our troubles are real. They're reality in front of us. They're fact. You know, there's some tough stuff going down, and it's not just, oh, think good thoughts, and it'll go away. No, there's some big things, and Goliath was a reality. But we can easily think that the troubles that we have are unbeatable, and that they are evidence that God is not with us or that God is upset with us. And I think the Romans probably felt exactly the same way. And that's why Paul is writing them this chapter. That's why Paul, he almost grabs them by their shoulders. I can picture him. It was a letter, so really he couldn't. But if he could have, what he was trying to do was to actually grab them by their shoulders and shake them. Like, don't you get it, guys? Yeah. Nothing, 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 nothing. I'm telling you, nothing can separate you. God's with you. God's with you. God's for you. God's on your side. God's fighting harder than you can see or think or imagine. And Paul's telling the Romans this. Goliath is described as champion from Gath. Champion. The word champion actually means one man who stands in the gap between two armies. And Gath means wine press, or the place of the squeeze. In other words, he is the challenge that will squeeze the life out of you. That's Goliath. That's what we face. The challenge that wants to squeeze the life out of us. And this is what Paul's asking us. Who is the champion that you will let squeeze the life out of you? Who is the champion that you will allow to squeeze in there between you and Jesus? Who is the liar you're going to believe that says that God has separated himself from you? Who can be a champion that separates us from Jesus? Who is this enemy that has the power to squeeze and disconnect you from the rescuing grace? The answer? Nothing. Nothing. And no matter how tough, how hard, how bad, how ugly this thing gets, Jesus is going nowhere. He is, if you believe in him, he is stuck to your side. He's gone with you. He's going on that roller coaster with you. You know, when you're on a roller coaster, I had this picture this morning of being on a roller coaster. I hate roller coasters. It's like torture. If you want to torture me, put me on a roller coaster. You put me on a roller coaster and I just feel, you know, I don't care who's around me. It's as if what you say you to me, but really, knowing there's someone I know beside me gives me a comfort. And sometimes we find ourselves on the roller coaster, but Jesus goes on it with us. Never gets off. He will not leave us or forsake us. No matter how big, how ugly, how powerful, how trained, how skilled that enemy is, he cannot cause God to flee. No matter the shape or the size of your struggle, Jesus is sticking around. And we are more than conquerors. We're not just winners. We're bigger winners. We're better winners. We're not just conquerors. We are more, above, beyond. Amen, hey? God is good. So how did Israel, in this picture of David and Goliath on this mountain, first of all, how did the Israelites respond to this battle? How did they, what was their battle stance? Well, I told you that they basically ran. Their response to the challenge that could squeeze the life out of them was to run, first of all, make a lot of noise and then run. They had so much confidence in the enemy that they would be okay when the enemy was far away. And you know what? Sometimes it's easy for us in here on a Sunday or at life group or in our car with our worship music playing. Oh, God, you're with me. God, I can face anything. Yeah, the enemy, get away from me. And we get our Bibles and we can shake them at him. And then we get to the battle. We get to the doctor's office. We get to that sitting on our couch at home all alone. We get that text from someone that is just so horrible and mean. And suddenly, we can feel like the Israelites. Wow. Oh, I was making all that noise before, but now it's really scary. And God's not with me. God, where have you gone? Yeah. And that was the battle stance of the Israelites. That's what they looked like. Making a lot of noise, saying a lot of good things, but not having confidence that God was with them and would not leave them or forsake them. But he's still right there. God is still right there. He's not going anywhere. And Paul tells us we have the power. We are more than conquerors. We may not feel Jesus' power. We may not know that he's there. We may be convinced he's not, but he is. He is with us. What about David? What was David's battle stance? What was the difference? What did David look like when he went to battle? Well, it tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, David said to the Philistine, "You come out against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Verse 47 says, "And all those gathered here will know that is not by the sword or by the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into his hands." David's battle stance is confidence, is surety, is I don't know what's going to happen, but God, this is God's going to make this work. God's going to go to battle for me. I'm not even going to get involved, really. I'm just going to listen to God and let him have his way. He knows that God is on his side, so much so that he discards big, heavy warrior armor and he takes up his five small stones in his sling. And the first stone that David throws kills Goliath, wipes him out, knocks him down. He's down. And I love this. This is one of my favorite spots in Scripture, that Goliath fell face forward, but he got hit in his forehead. How do you get hit in the forehead but fall forward? Because someone's given you a king hit in the back of your head. And that was God. That's who that was. I don't think it was David Stone that brought Goliath down. God just said, come on, buddy. I'm here with you. We'll do it together. Have a go. But really, it was all God. It's all God that wants to get us through our battles, our difficulties, our troubles. We face them. Paul describes the battles as awful. He describes them as hardship in Romans chapter 8. But we can be confident that God will not leave us, that we are more than conquerors. Even when the trouble stays, sometimes the trouble sticks around. And that's, I think, the hardest line when we start to think, maybe God isn't for me. Why haven't I been healed? Why hasn't this been restored? Why haven't I had all the answers that I believed God had for me? Why aren't the promises coming to pass? Well, Paul prophetically knew what was coming to those people in Rome. Paul, by God's power, Paul wrote this book to these people. And these people, just 10 years later, are burnt at the stake, are wrapped in tar, and become the roadway that is set on fire as they burn to death slowly for the Romans to come past. These people are thrown to the lions. These people experience the worst torture that Christians have experienced on the earth, and probably today there are worse, but these people were right up there. And this is why Paul's saying to them, get ready. Don't doubt. Don't think because there's trouble or difficulty that God's not with you. Don't start to think like that. Walk through your troubles. Walk through your trials. Go for it and say, God, I am more than a conqueror despite what is going on around me. And at the end of the day, when the whole thing's wound up and goes up in smoke, we win. Really? At the end of the day, we win. That's what the word tells us, that even though there might be trouble and difficulty, that in the end, God is for us and we will eternally sit with Him, in relationship with Him. And if that is where our confidence can be, that's a pretty good spot for me. Death will not touch us. And David speaks confidently. David is convinced that God will not leave him. Our biggest battle, you know, is in our own heads. Our biggest battle is in our own heads. And sometimes our battle may not even look as ugly and unpleasant as some of those I've described. Some of it's just the confidence to do what God's called you to do. Just getting up here, just me functioning in what God's called me to do has been a battle in my head. Of my worth, of my value, have I got something to say? God, why do you want to use me? God, am I good enough? What are you, like all things, it's my head. And often we can look fantastic on the outside. We can look like we're winning at every turn. But inside, our heads are in turmoil. Inside, our own minds and our self, what we think of ourselves, our self-talk, what's going on there is actually the biggest fight of all. And our clothes cover it up. And our hair covers it up. And our fashion covers it up. And our career covers it up. But God wants to work with our heads. He wants to renew our mind, like Richard was talking about last week. And Romans chapter 8, Paul, in that scripture I read at the end there, Paul's Romans 8, verse 38, Paul says these words, "For I am convinced." So he reveals to us right here that it's about my head. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. In my mind, it's clear. I'm 100% confident. There's not a doubt. And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. Because the problems will come, the trials will come, the difficulties will come. And we have to just go, I don't care, because I am convinced that my God is for me, that Jesus will not leave me, that there is nothing between us. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How do we journey these struggles? How do we keep going forward? Get the mind of the Spirit that understands that God doesn't leave me and you have peace. You can face the same two circumstances, the same two things, but you can wear two different pairs of glasses. You can wear the human reality glasses that block our vision and don't let us see forward. You know, when David was standing in front of Goliath, he was fighting the same fight with the same enemy, and he had the same God as the Israelites had had. Same enemy, same fight, same God, but it was his perspective on the situation. When we have the world perspective, it doesn't help. We've got to put on our love glasses. Jesus loves me. Nothing gets in the way. I'm fighting. I'm not fighting. It's up to Jesus. I'm just here. Jesus has got me. Jesus is looking after me. Oh, what? You think I failed? Yeah, probably I did. Jesus is here with me. Yeah. What glasses are we going to wear? Which glasses are we going to put on? How are we going to look? What's our heads going to tell us about what's really going on? Are we going to let our heads condemn us, judge us, pull us down, make us question what God really has for us? Come on. Are we going to keep our love glasses on? They're a tad small, but that's okay. We can work with small. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. Is this encouraging some people? Yeah. Three of you, that's great. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And this is the prayer that Paul prays over the Ephesians. And I think he can pray it over us today. It says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for us to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I love that the Bible tells us that you're not going to get it. Like we start to get it, and then we hit another trial, and we're like, God, really? I thought we'd worked all this out. I thought I was so convinced, but now I'm not. I don't know. And he goes, go deeper. Go wider, go more, understand my love all the more. My love is that out of this trial, this difficulty, this struggle is going to come fruit that can change a nation, help a family, empower you for the next, that can stretch your vision, allow you to think more. Out of this. But when we put these glasses on, we can see it, we can imagine it. God doesn't want us. Doing this. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves... No. No. God doesn't want us doing that. He wants us going, he loves me, 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 he loves me. No matter what. No matter what. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. He loves me.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.